Today's daf is daf nun dalet. So if we take it from the very last line, the last three words on nun gimel amud beis, the Gemara quotes a brayis atanu rabbanan, ein machmitim b'tapuchim. The brayis says one does not do chametz, does not create chametz with the tapuchim, which is referring to apples. It doesn't work. It doesn't rise properly. It's not enough. So if you want to create chametz from in terms of the baking chametz for lechem toda, it doesn't work mixing it together with apples. Mishum Rabbi Chanina ben Gamliel Omer Machmitin, he thinks it does work. It actually does work if you do crush apples and you put it inside, it will make it machmitz. So if you take a look, actually wait a second before you look at Tosos. The Gemara now says, top of Nindal Menalef now, Rav Kahana Masi Lab Rabbi Chanina ben Chadion, he thought it wasn't Rabbi Chanina ben Gamliel, it was Rabbi Chanina ben Chadion. Okay, either way, Machlokas, who said this, but there is a Machlokas, whether or not Tapuchim, whether or not apples, have the ability to be Machmit something or not. So the Gemara wants to know now, Kiman Azla Hadatan, who is the author behind the Mishnah that appears in Maseches Trumos, it says, Tapuach Sherisku, a tapuach, an apple that had been mashed, had been mushed into applesauce, let's say, v'nasum b'so chaisa, and they mix this applesauce in the dough, v'chimt, it causes it to become chametz, so it does cause it to rise. Harei zu asur, it's asur. What does it mean? It's asur to zarim. You know, chuma, of course, is only allowed to be eaten by a kohen. It cannot be eaten by a zar. So if you have mixed together some applesauce, apple came from chuma, Rashi says, a situation where tapuach is shel chuma, shirasku v'nasu l'isas chulim. So you took an apple, that was some chuma. You crushed the apple, made it an applesauce, you mix it with the dough of chulim, and then it becomes chametz. So the halach is, that dough now has a chuma as part of it, and therefore zar may not eat it. So who is the one who holds this way? Come on, it must be Lema, Rabbi Chanina ben Gamliel, he, below Rabbanan. Because we saw above that Rabbi Chanina ben Gamliel is the one who holds that apples have the ability to cause dough to be machmetz. So if you put a little bit of apples into the dough, it causes it to rise. That has now a shame of chuma to it. As opposed to Rabban who felt if you mix apples together, apples don't have the ability to make it into chametz, and not have the ability to make it into any dough, and therefore it won't be usher to eat. So the Gemara now says, no. The apple certainly, exactly. The apple you certainly couldn't eat, but the dough, if you could somehow, after the dough has risen, and you have somehow separated the apple, the remaining dough is still usher, according to this opinion, because it was caused, the chuma caused it to become chametz. So Gemara says, no, afilu tamer rabbanan, even rabbanan would hold that this chametz would be usher. What we said above, the Rabban felt that apples cannot cause it to become chametz. It doesn't allow it to be chametz that's really a chametz gamur, that's complete chametz. It doesn't really rise well, but it rises a little bit. It's called the chametz nuksha. We have that same term used in Psachim. So Rashi says, what does it mean chametz nuksha? Four lines from the top. Nuksha means lashon ru'ua, like ra, bad. Kumar chametz shafel, a very low type of chametz. It doesn't rise completely. So Rabban agree that caused it to be machmitz, and therefore apples from chuma that causes dough to rise a little bit, that's sufficient to call the dough a shem chuma, an aser tzarim. But it doesn't cause it to be machmitz in a good way, and therefore it can't be used for the lechem toda, which requires chametz gamar. So up until now, we read the Gemara, it sounded like we're referring to crushed apples. Take a look at Tosus tapuach shirisku, all the way towards the bottom now. It's around, I don't know, 10 lines up from the bottom. Tosas writes, Tapuach Shirisku V'nasnu L'isa V'chimtu Harei Zu Asura. You take an apple and you crush it, you put it into dough and cause it to become to rise, that's Asur. So Mishnah Hiva Maseches Shumos, Perek Yud, this Mishnah appears in Maseches Shumos. V'amina Labbe Gemara B'Yushalmi, Yushalmi comments on this Mishnah, Tani Rabbi Yossi Matir, Rabbi Acha, Rabbi Abahu, Mishem Rabbi Yossi Bar Rabbi Chanina, Ma'pligi B'chametz B'meimav. Referring to the meim of the mei tapuach, the apple juice is referring to Rabbi Machmetz begufo mutter. So there's actually a machlokes. Our Gemara is referring to if you crush the apple itself, make it into applesauce, that's what's going to have that's the machlokes. The Yushalmi says no, apples doesn't have the ability to make it chametz. Applesauce can't make it chametz. If you make juice out of it, then the question is whether the juice is able to make it chametz. But the apples itself, crushed apples, according to the Yushalmi, does not have that ability to cause it to become chametz. So that seems to be a machlokas between the Yushalmi and the Bavli, the way Tosus understands it. Back to the Gemara now. The Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Ilah, Ein Lecha Kashra, going back to now the lachas of Kmitza. Ein lecha kashul kmitza yoser mi minchas chote. The hardest of all the kmitzos is a minchas chote. What's minchas chote? What's kmitza? If you remember kmitza, of course, when you take the three middle fingers and you scoop it up and you rub off the top and the bottom, and it doesn't. We always think it's referring to solas, referring to flour, which is very easy to rub off. It's not true. It's referring to after it's been baked or fried, so you have to crack it off. It's not very easy. So the Gemara is pointing out here that the hardest of all the kmitzas is the minchas chote. Why is the minchas chote so hard? Because there's no oil. It's completely dry. It's hard, and you have to crack it. As opposed to the other doughs, which are softer, it's easier to bend. The minchas chote is very, very hard. So comes along with Yitzchak bar Avdimi, Amar minchas chote migav lebemaim b'ksheira. No, he says, granted you don't put oil in the chote. Remember, we said the chote, the minchas chote, the guy who brings the mincha, we don't want it to look very nice. So we say, no oil. Oil makes it look nice, it has to be very, very dry. But says Rav Yitzchak, but you are allowed to put water in it. They would knead it with water, they just wouldn't knead it with oil. So once you're kneading it with water, it does have the ability, it is soft, and it's not so hard to do kmitza once it has water mixed together. So there's machlokas again, whether or not one mixes water with minchas chote. So the Gemara says, what's the machlokas, whether or not you mix water with it or not? Lema baha kemiflagi. Let's suggest they're arguing about the following point, what we've been discussing yesterday in the daf. The Mar Savar Kimos Shehein Misharinan, Umar Savar Likamos Shehein Misharinan. They're arguing about whether or not you go, the sheer necessary, is it based on the current volume of it, even though there's water mixed together, or do you go based on the initial volume? And so if you go based on the initial volume, so flour mixed with water, the initial volume of flour was not enough, only because the water you added into it made into a current volume. So again, according to Rav Yitzchak, you go according to the current model. And since you added water, and it now it rose, it got bigger, that's sufficient. You look at the now. But according to Rabbi Lai, you look back based on what it was. How much flour do you put in? And now you added water. With the water, you have the right amount of shear. But you look about the original shear, and the original shear of flour was too little. So that's why you don't add water. You have to let the flour be completely dry, no other additives. That's the machlokas, the Gemara says. Gemara says, low. That is not the machlokas. The chuli alma kimos shein misharin. Everyone agrees they go based on what was. So what's the machlokas then? So the Gemara says as follows: the hakam iflagi. Demar savar mai chareva. When it says in the pasuk that the minchas chote is chareva, chareva mishemen has to be chareva mishemen. It has to be dry, absent of oil, but you can't have water in it. That's the opinion of Rav Yitzchak. Umar savar chareva mikol davar. Rabbi Elahol has to be dry and absent from all types of liquids, and therefore even water is prohibited. So it's a machlokas how to understand the drasha of chareva, nothing to do with how one assesses the volume, whether it's based on the current volume or the previous volume. Okay, Gemara now says halfway down the Amud here, Tanan Hasan Misha tells us in Maseches Uksin now. Basar ha'egel, let's say you have some meat of an egel, which means a very calf, a small piece of meat, and it's an ender shir of kibetza. When it comes to tumas ochlim, when for food to be makabal tuma, it has to be a shir of kibetza. If it's less than a kibetza, it won't be makabal tuma. So you have basar ha'egel, a very small piece of calf, it's less than a kibetza. What happens is, shenispach, and now it becomes large through cooking or something, makes the shir get larger. So now, or you have a case, basar zikena, an older piece of cow meat, which older, which means a large meat, you have the size of a kibetza, but what happens is, shenismaich, it shrinks. So now you have the first cases where the shear starts off small, gets larger, or it starts off larger, gets smaller underneath a shear of a kibetza. So the Gemara says, the Mishnah says, mishtarin lekamos shehein. You look at the way it is right now. We'll see what that means in just a second. So how do you understand the Mishnah? So it's machlokas amarayim, what that line means, mishtarin lekamosh shehein. So Rabbi Chia, Rabbi Yochanan, Amru, they all say, mishtarin kemos shehein. You look at the right now. You look at the shear. So if right now the basar egel is large, so we don't care what it was. If it's a large, if it's a inflated type of meat, we look at it now. It has the right shear. And the basar zakena, we look at it now. And even though a couple hours ago it was large, right now it's too small. So we always look at the now. That's the first opinion. Comes along now Shmuel v'Rebbe Shimon ben Barebi Reish Lakish Amri. These Amorim say no Misharin lekamos shehein, the way they once were. So Basa Egel was initially small. That's less than a shir kibetza. Look at it right now. We don't care about the now. And basa de zakeh is the opposite. Since it was before a shir kabeitza, even now, even though it shrunk, now we look at the what was, not what's now. So that's the machlokus here in understanding the mission uksin. So Gemara quotes another brisa as a kasha meisive. It says in the brisa, Basar ha'egel shlo hayabo kishiuro. You have a piece of calf meat and it doesn't have the proper shear. It's a less than a kabeitza. The tafach, it became bigger. V'amod al kishir, now it became a shear of a kabeitza. Tower the shavar. So it's in the past, it's tower, meaning at 10 o'clock in the morning it was too small. 12 p.m. it grew. So between 12 and 10, so those periods it's tower because it was less than a kabeitza. But mikan betame mikan ulhaba. But after 12, since at 12 o'clock it became inflated, it now became a bigger shear. So now from 12 o'clock, it has this current size of kabeitza, it is tame moving forward. So we see from here, and we look at the current state, what the current state is. According to Rav, according to Shmuel and Rabbi Shimon, we said, no, we always look what was. Since it's a basar egel, was initially a small piece of meat, I don't care if it grew in size. We look at was what was. But the Mishnah, the Braisa here clearly says, no, you say mekan laba, if it reaches the shy size of kabeitza, it's a kabeitza now, and you say tameh, moving weiter. So Gemara says, no, that's midrabanan. Midaraisa, Shmuel and the others say, that's really tahor. Even though right now it's a kabeitza, since the meat initially was a less than a kabeitza, even now it's bigger, it's really tahor on a deraisa level. Chacham came along and said, you should view this as a midir batuma, at least midir banan, mikan ulahaba. So Yachiv, this is the case, asks the Gemara, that referring to tuma midir banan, that's the discussion of the Brais here, but midir raisa, there's no tuma in these situations, aim a seifa. Look what the seifa says of this very Brais. It says, this is not only true of tuma, it says, v'chein bipigol, v'chein benosar. That in other words, if the shear of the nosar pigol got large, we say it's tameh mikan ulahaba. So the Gemara says, wait a second. Now, Iyamis Bisham, if you say that the whole discussion is really Tuma Midiraisa, Hainudika, Pigal, Venosar, so that we understand that they're Dina Midiraisa. Nosar and Pigal, we know, are concepts that appear in the Torah. Eli Iyamis Dirabana, if you're going to tell me that the whole Braisa, we're talking about the Tuma of these meats that are bigger and smaller, we're only talking about Dirabana level, Pigal, Venosar, Midirabana, Miika, is there such a concept? Remember, pigal nosa, what's halacha? If one eats meat that was pigal or nosa left overnight, or they had the wrong machshava b'makom or bizman, one gets kares for eating it. So we don't have a concept that you get kares for eating it under a bun level. That concept doesn't exist. I mean, let's say a person ate a shir kazayis of pigal or nosa, he gets kares. If he eats less than a shir kazayis, there's no kares. So as the Gemara is saying, now we're suggesting if one eats less than a shir kazayis of nosa or pigal, he gets kares on a dirabanan level. We don't have the concept of kares on a dirabanan level. How can we suggest that this old Bryce is talking about dirabanan concepts? There's no dirabanan concept of no sar and pigo. So it must be really referring to the Raisa concept. So we go back to square one. Mark says no. Ema v'chein betumas pigol v'chein betumas nosar. We're not talking about the onish kares on a derabanan level. That does not exist. Kares only comes when you're violating something in deraisa. The braisa is talking about derabanan rules. That again, if you have basar egel that was too small, it got bigger, midiraisa, there's no tum on that. But they say derabanan, there is tum on mikan alaba. So too, when it says v'chein pigal v'nosar, it's not referring to getting kares on a derabanan violation. It's talking about getting tuma, not the iser kares. There's tuma when it comes to pigal v'nosar. One touches pigal v'nosar, one becomes tameh on a dirabanan level. That's what it's referring to. Nothing to do with the onish kares. It's all referring to tuma midirabanan. Gemara explains, sakadaita chamina, one would have thought, hold the tumas pigal v'tumas nosar midirabanan hi, kuli hai, midirabanan, lo avid rabanan. The concept of tuma by nosar in pigal in general, there is no concept of tuma. If you look in the Torah, nosar pigal do not have tuma. Saras is tuma, Zav is tuma, Keri is tuma, Nida, Mace, Sheret, Nevela. Nosar Pigal, you won't find anywhere in the Torah this tuma on Nosar Pigal. Chacham created a tuma, Midirabanan of Nosar Pigal. So the Havamin is, maybe there's only Chacham created tuma when eating Pigal of a Nosar, only a situation where there's a shear of the Kazayas. But less than that, maybe Chacham said there's no tuma Midirabanan. Come as long as Bryce to tell me, Kamash Malan, that no, Chay Noser Pigol, there is also Tumah Midirbanan of Noser Pigol even when it's less than a shear of a kazayis. That's the chiddush from this brisa. But this whole brisa is referring to only tumah b'dirabanan. Gemara now says back to the discussion of again whether or not we go based on the shear of the current state of the basar, or we go based on the shear what it initially was. Gemara quotes a brisa tashma. Basar is a kena shaya bo kashir. You have cow meat that have the proper shear to shear a kabeitza, so it's right now ra'oi to become tame. The tzamak, it now shrinks. Pachas mekashir, it's now less than a kabeitza. Tame l'shavar. So everything that passed became tame. I mean, 10 a.m., you have a piece of meat, you cut it from the cow, it's a shear kabeitza. 12 p.m., it becomes too small. So anything between 10 and 12, it was a size of kabeitza, it's tame. But beyond 12, so then it's already too small, so now it's moving forward, the lach is tahor, mikan ulahaba. So we see from here clearly that we go based on the current shear. We don't look at what it once was. Since it came initially from a shear kabeitza, it's always tame. No, we always look at the current shear. So Gemara clarifies this whole machlokas as follows. The last few lines of the page, Amar Rabba. Rabba says, Kol hecha demi kara havi bay, hashales bay. Everybody agrees where initially there was a shear, and right now hashales bay. Now it's no shear. It's too little, small of a shear. It's shrunk. Everybody agrees hashales bay. There's no shear. There's no lav kabeitza. There's no tumor. B'chol hecha demi kara lo havi bay. Any situation where initially the basa was too small, the hashta havi bay, and now it grew to a size of a kabeitza. Everyone agrees midar bottom. There is tuma midirabanim. So a small calf cow, calf meat, that grew, it's tame midirabanim. So keep pligi, when is there machlokas with respect to the shiurim? Says the Gemara on the very top of Nindalim and Beis, keep pligi, could go in the situation of kshayabo kishir, the tamak, the chazar, the tafach. A situation where you had the proper shear. It then shrunk below the shear, and then it regrew, it became inflated, so now that's the machlokas. So how do we get the machlokas? What's the nekudas machlokas? The mar savar yesh dichoy beisura. The mar savar ein dichoy beisura. There's a concept when something was usser, and then it lost its isser. Can you now rehabilitate that isser? Can it come back to life? Do you say yesh dichoy beisura? Once you push it away, it's usser forever. So again, I've got a piece of meat now, which is a big shear, and we know that it's able to become tame. Now it's shrunk. So we say right now that's shrunk, so it's too small. It can never get back to the initial state. But once it regrows, we say, since it regrew, we look back to the initial shear, it had a kabeitza, or no, once it became too small, it loses the ability to become tame anymore on a deraisa level. That's the machlokas.
Is that same thing for the clothes of mayor? Is that the same thing?
It's a similar concept, but that's with regards to bittel. So the Gemara now says, Umika, the Gemara challenges this. Is it really true? Umika, is there anyone who holds a man damar di yesh di chabisur? Does anyone really hold that there is dichoy? If there's an isser, you could push off the dichoy, you can never come back to life? Is that really true? Ratan, the Mishnah tells us in Maseches Taros, Kebeitza Oklin Shenicha Bechama, V'nismatu, you take a food that's the size of kebeitza, which again has the ability to become tame, and then it shrinks. You put it in the sun and it shrinks. V'chein kezayis min ames, you take kezayis min ames, kezayis min anevela, u'kadashim min asheret, kezayis pigol, the kezayis nosev, kezayis chelev. Yeah, teach you boxing by any chance? Sorry. Oh, okay, I'll hold the thought for you. I'll hold this. Sorry, Andy. Okay, so again, the machlokas. So the Gemara is quoting a Mishnah. It's challenging this point three lines down. Mi'ika mi alman damer yesh dicha b'isurim. Does anyone really hold that there is dicha b'isurim? Meaning, no one holds that way. Everyone holds that it can be rehabilitated. But that's not the Mishnah tells us. If you have a piece of meat that was a proper shear, it shrunk in the sun. The proper shear for each of those tumas, and it shrunk. And kadashim min asheretz, which is the shear, kadasha, the size of a lentil, which is a needed shear for asheretz, that shrunk. Ukazais pigol, vukazais nozer, kazais chelev. All these cases are tahorin because right now it's shrunk, it doesn't have the size. Vein chayim aleim mishum pigol v'nozer v'chelev. You're not chayv on any of these items because right now the current state is it's too small. However, in nichan begishamim, you place it into the rain now, v'tafchu, it regrows to the proper size, to the kabeitza, to the kadasha, kazayis, whatever is needed, it regrows. So the lacha is now Temerin v'chayevim alei mishim pigel v'nosu v'chaylov. So we see clearly that it can rehabilitate. We don't say, ah, now that it's shrunk, it can't come back to the iser. It can always come back to its iser. V'tiyufta l'man damar yesh dichoy b'isurin tiyufta. So this brisa, it refutes that opinion that iser can be pushed off. The brisa clearly says it cannot be pushed off. It always can come back to life. So Tashma, Gemara quotes another brisa now. Tormim te'enin al ha-grogros. You're able to take figs to be mafresh chuma on grogros. And what's the difference? Te'enim are a moist piece of figs, and grogros are dry, which means they're smaller, they're shriveled up. So you're allowed to do this b'minyan. You could separate it using minyan, meaning you could take 10 te'enim, 10 nice plush figs, and mafish them from the dry grogros, 90 grogros. You have 100 total, so you take 10 for meiser, and 90 is going to be the remaining part you get to keep. The Gemara says, "Now, Amris Bishamel Kamos Shehein Misharin Shapir." This all makes sense if you go based on the initial shear, and everything works out well. You view the grogros as initial figs, regular figs. They have the right size, so everything's balanced. You have 10 figs to 90 figs. Even though currently the grogros, they're dried up and shriveled and much smaller, we go based on the initial shear, everything makes a lot of sense now. However, if you look at what they are right now, then that's a problem, because what's going to happen is the grogros all dried up are very shriveled. They're going to lose half the size, maybe. I don't know the size, but they lose half the size of Tainim. So now you have these big figs as meiser, taking 10 big figs, and you have like 90 shriveled up figs. It's not going to be balanced. It's not going to be 10%. We know meiser needs to be 10%. It might be 10% in terms of how many, but not in terms of the sizes of them. It's not going to be 10%. So the Gemara asks, Eli Yamas Kemo Shehain, if you look at the current volume of them, Havle Marbe B'meiser. So now you're having too much meiser. Again, don't look at how many. Don't look at the quantity. Yes, there are 10 figs corresponding to 90 dried figs. But in terms of the volume, it's going to be a lot more. It's going to be, 20% to 80%, and you can't be marbe meiser. You can't bring too much meiser, as the Gemara quotes from the Mishnah. Hamarbe b'meisros, one who takes too much meiser, more than 10%, the problem is, peirosa misukanim u'masrosa mikukalim. The peiros are good, but the meiser's messed up. What does that mean? And if you view just percentages just for a moment right now, so let's say you have, you leave 80%, you take 20% as meiser. So now, in that 20%, you have 10%. So in that 20%, 10% is able to be matir the remaining 80%. That 80%, that fruit is allowed for the farmer to eat. But that 20% that you want to give to the meiser, to the levy, is not going to work. Why not? Because only 10% of that 20% is working as meiser, is going to be matir the remaining 80%. But there's another 10% that's in that meiser, which nothing was matir. You try to make it meiser, but you can't make meiser more than 10%. So that extra 10% is not going to be, nothing was matir. It still remains aser. So you're now giving the levy some meiser, but there's also some tevil there, which never was mufrash, which never was matir, and therefore it's aser to be given to the levy. So you can't be mar ben meisros. So the Gemara says, Elamai must be l'kamos shehein. You look at what they once were. And therefore, since grogos were once te'enim, so the volumes actually work out very nicely. But then the Gemara says, problem with this is ema seifa. Look at the seifa of this brisa. It says, grogos al te'enim. If you separate, you're allowed to separate dry figs on regular figs, bimida, in terms of the proper shear. So Gemara says, Iyamis Bishon, if you say, based on kemoshehen, the way they once were. So grogos and te'enim are the same thing. They both come from figs. So if you look at what was, so then it all makes sense. Shop here. Ala'i Amris, right now. If you look at the right now, I'm sorry, Iyamris Bishamak Kamoshe, if you're looking at the right now, shop here, this all makes sense. You go based, this is saying based on Mida, not Minya, I'm sorry, it goes Mida. Minyan means count, Mida means the volume. So you go based in volume, so you look at the right now. Since right now you take the volume of 10%, you take 10% of the weight of grogos to 90% weight of the tainim, everything works out. If you look at how they once were, so then marbe meisosu, how could you use the volume of the grogos we have to view what the volume of the gogos once were. So now by you taking all these grit, you're taking a larger amount of grogos now to get the volume, and now if you reverse that, those gogos are much larger than they were, you're taking a lot more maaser than you're supposed to be taking. That's going to be marber bimosros. So that's telling the other way that you should look about the way they currently are, not the way they once were. There's a steer within the brisa about each one, whether you go how they are now or how they once were. Ella, Mar says, you know what? We're not talking about Meiser here at all. Meiser, this price wouldn't work out well because Meiser has to be 10% exactly. This is referring to Truma Gedola. Truma Gedola, we know, is the first thing you take, you give to the Kohen. Midereisa, you could give even one piece of chita to the Kohen, and that will be matir. Oh, you have billions of chita. That one chita could poter the rest of the the crop. So the Gemara says, Reisha b'ayin yafeh and Seifa b'ayin yafeh. They're referring to two different cases. One's referring to giving b'minyan, one's referring to using nida. Either way, no matter how much you give of chumen, it always works. And they're just referring to how ayin yafeh, when they're giving more than they want to. Meaning, we said the recommended shear of chuma is 1/40th, 1/50th, or 1/60th. So Bryce is a situation where you're giving b'ayin yafeh, and therefore you're giving, what was the first case here? That, you're giving the te'anim, that was te'anim for the grogros. No, first, yeah, you give te'anim for grogros. So you want to give ayin yafeh, so you don't go based on how they once were, you're given based on count. If you're giving te'anim, give b'minyan. Give 10 te'anim for every 90 grogros. That's considered giving ayin yafeh. You don't look at what was, you look at the current state, and that's considered the ayin yafeh. If you want to give grogros instead of te'anim, so then you should go based on mida. And that's also based on the weight, that's considered giving the ayin yafeh. The Gemara then says, Yachi, that's the case, if we're really referring to Shuma Gedola, that giving to the Kohen, aim a Seifa. Look what the Seifa says. Amar Rabbi Elazar, the Seifa, this Brisa says, Rabbi Yossi, Abba Hayanotel Asa Grogros Shibim Muksoa. He says that his father, Rabbi Yossi, would give 10 Grogros Muksoa. They used to take the figs and smash them together into like these fig cakes. So, if you take 10 of these figs, he's removed 10 of these dried figs, al tishim, shemakalkala. So you had now a whole fig cake of dried grogros here. And he had a whole basket of nice tanum, plush tanum. So what my father would do, he would take 10 dried figs from the miksoa, and that would exempt the fig, the 90 figs, plush figs that were in the basket. So now what's the problem with that? The amris, if we're saying e b'chuma gedola, referring to chuma gedola, eser maya avidase. We never find anywhere that you give 10 of Chuma Gedola. Chuma Gedola is Midraisa, give even one. Midrabban, we suggest 1/40th, 1/50th, 1/60th. But never do you find anywhere you give 10% from Chuma Gedola. So he says the fact that you took 10% is not, must be referring to Meiser, not Chuma Gedola. Or it says, no, Elahacha, but Chumas Meiser Askin. Referring to not Chuma Gedola and not Meiser, but Chumas Meiser. What's Chumas Meiser? Gemara explains here. Tani, the Baraita teaches us that Amar Abba Elazar ben Gomel Omer, he would say, it says in the Pasuk, V'nechshev lachem chumaschem. And when it comes to Chumas Meiser is when the Levi receives his Meiser, so he gives from his Meiser, what's called Chumas Meiser. He gives 10% of his 10% to the Kohen. So let's say, for example, the farmer has 100 figs. So he gives 10 of those figs to the Levi. Now Levi has 10 figs. He gives one of the 10, which is 10%, one fig to the Kohen. That's called Chumas Meiser, Chuma of Meiser. So of that, the Gemara quotes a brisa, V'nechshav, says a pasuk in Korach, V'nechshav lachem chumaschem, and you calculate for you the Chuma. What do you mean, chumaschem? It sounds like Shebishtei Chumos HaKasim Adabr. It's referring to two types of Chumas. So the Gemara explains, Achas Chuma Gedola, Achas Chuma Meiser, telling us that Kashem Chumas Gedola, he tells Ba'omer, just like when you take Chuma Gedola, you don't have to take it exactly. Comes to Meiser, Meiser must be very exact. You have to count everyone, make sure it's exactly 10%. Chuma Gedola, you don't have to be exact. You want to give 2%, you want to give 1/50th, you could estimate, you could do an omed, a rough estimate is sufficient. Umach Shava as well. Come to Chuma, you don't have to do an actual hafrash, you don't have to actually separate, but simply by Machshava, by thinking in your mind what part's going to be Chuma, that's sufficient. So just like by Chuma, those two halachas are the same, that Omed and Machshava works, so too as well, Kach Chumas Meiser, Nitelas Be'omed U'Machshava. when the Levi received his 10%, now he's giving the Trumas Meiser, he's giving 10% of his Meiser to the Kohen, namely it's called Trumas Meiser, he also could do Omer Machshava. He could say, okay, I'm estimating around this, and he could also do a Machshava, his mind alone would be sufficient, he doesn't have to do an actual Hafrasha.
I thought we said the first Truma has to be exact.
No.
That's Meiser.
This is Chuma, yeah. Chuma. Meiser is one thing, Meiser must be exact, but Chuma, Gedola, and Chuma's Meiser do not have to be exact. And then the Gemara says further, Ma Chuma Gedola, by Nyafa, just like a Chuma Gedola, a person wants to give more than he wants to, more than the Torah says, you're certainly allowed to. I mean, the Raisa, again, all you have to do is give one piece of chita, that's sufficient, but you could give Ayin Yafa, you could give as much as you want. So to half Chuma's Meiser, by Nyafa, you could give more than you want as well. So even though by Chumas Meiser the Levi is supposed to give 10%, you're allowed to be Marbe B'Meiser. So there is a concept of Ayin Yafa by Chumas Meiser, and that explains all the Brises. Now the Gemara says, let's finish off a few more lines here. Umine, from this very statement, we're able to prove the following halacha. Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Yosi, Abba, Hayanotel Eser, Grogos, Shibim Ksoa, Al Tishim, La Shibim Kalkala. That he would separate 10 dry figs that were in the fig cakes, he removed 10 fig cakes, and that would be the Trumas Meiser, given and exempt the basket of figs that he had. So, Iyamis Bishma, it makes sense, the Kamosh Shehein Amrinan, if you go based on what was, so Shapi, everything makes sense. Iyamis Kamosh Shehein, if you're looking at what they are right now, but to Lahu, you're having too small, because if you're taking 10 dried figs, or 90 plush figs, it's not going to work out well. We go based on what was. That since the 10 dried figs were once plush figs, you go based on what was, it does work out well taking the Trumas Meiser. The Gemara finally says, Ki Aser, Rav Dimi, Amar Rebbe Lazar, shiny grogos. Grogos are different than everything else. Hove yachol shalakon ulachsiron lekemos shehen. Very different. When it comes to figs, since figs, dried figs, very easily can get back to its initial state by putting a little bit of water on it, we'll get back to the initial state. Therefore, we always view everything as they are right now. But other types of foods, once they get dried out, once they shrink, it's very hard and difficult to get them back to the initial state, and therefore you cannot bring any rayas from grogos.